Welcome to the Heavenly Warriors Radio Network, training people all over the world to fight spiritual darkness and wickedness in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 6:12. The Lord says, His people perish for lack of knowledge. Heavenly Warriors is dedicated to spreading the knowledge of the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tired of being a human punching bag for the devil, and you're hungry for more Holy Spirit power in your life, stay tuned. Hi, Pastor Rick Bell here with HeavenlyWarriors.com. I'd like to welcome all of you to this teaching session. And today we're going to talk about a very important and interesting subject, and that is the power that was given to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, we need power. We can't do anything that we need to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. As you know, in the first book of Acts, Jesus told the disciples to go and wait in the upper room and not come out. Do not try to start your ministry until you receive the Holy Spirit. You receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're not the same. There is a change in your person. There's a change in your personality. You are literally born again. You become a new creature. Now, I know that a lot of my religious friends will argue with me, but they're wrong on this. Just because you raise your hand in some church service somewhere at some point in your life when the preacher gives an altar call and says, "Do you want to accept Jesus?" and your friend sitting next to you says, "Raise your hand," and you slip your hand up, that has not taken care of your salvation. You have just acknowledged that, yeah, I'm going to raise my hand because my friend is raising his hand. But in order to accept Jesus, it has to be just that. It has to be an acceptance, a change, a repentance on your part. No one wants to talk about the R word. No one wants to talk about repentance because it means you're going to have to change something. Repent means stop doing something that you're doing. Do something different. No one wants to do the repentance part. Oh, you're okay with the slipping your hand up while everyone's head's bowed and everyone's eyes are closed, as the preachers so often say. You're fine with that. That's not a stress. That's not a problem for you. But it's the change, the repentance part. Now, the repentance part comes quite automatically when you receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I've yet to ever see that happen when someone truly gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit and, yes, begins to speak in other tongues, that something has not radically changed in their personality. Most of the time, they are a brand new creature, brand new person. Now, you rarely see that when someone, quote, walks the aisle and accepts Jesus. They are pretty much the same when they walk out of the church with the same habits and the same tendencies, the same personality quirks and traits that they had before they walked down the aisle. And you know that's the truth. That's just the truth. But when someone receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something happens in them, an explosion. They are different. Something is new. They are literally that new creature in Christ. So we're going to talk a little bit about that Holy Spirit and the importance of that. And you ask, well, Pastor Rick, why do you talk about the Holy Spirit so much? Well, the answer is because no other churches are talking about it enough. It's one of those subjects really all denominations want to keep in the box. They don't want to talk about it. If they just kind of ignore it, maybe it'll, you know, never cause them any, have to answer any hard questions or have to deal with someone, having the baptism of the Holy Spirit in their congregation and, God forbid, speaking in tongues. So most churches don't want to talk about this. They will not teach on it. But it is something that was very important. And it's so important that Jesus told the disciples, the very ones that he had had in his training program for 3 years, not to leave the upper room until they get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you'll know when you get it, because you're going to speak in an unknown language. That's the first sign. Now, people always say, well, you know, the Bible says you're not supposed to speak in tongues in church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the prayer language that the Lord will give you that's between you and He. There's a time for speaking in tongues in church with interpretation. The Bible says not just to have everyone in the congregation, you know, blabbing in tongues, because if a visitor comes, they're not going to relate to that, and it's going to freak them out, and they're not going to want to have any part of what you're doing. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the scripture. Let's look at Matthew, and let's see what Jesus is going to say about the Holy Spirit. And we pick this up, Matthew 16 and verse 13. And when it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So let's take a look at what Jesus was saying. First of all, he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Now, that's the crux. That's the very important thing that a believer has to grasp, is who Jesus is. Now, the meaning of this is not that Jesus was a really good carpenter, or that he was Joseph's son, or that he was a really good teacher or pastor or preacher. All of those things were true. But the crux of this, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Jesus moved in power. And that's what he was looking for his disciples to recognize, that you are the Son of God with all of the power that accompanies that. You see, without power, we are like a ship that's dead in the water. We don't have an ability to go anywhere, and we are going to sit there through the storms as they toss and turn and rage and possibly sink our vessel. So Jesus was trying to get the point across to the disciples. I want you to know who I am, first of all, and that is, I walk in power, the power of heaven. And then he says to Simon Barjona, Peter, you are Peter. So the next thing he wanted them to understand, he wanted us to understand, is that we have to know who we are in him, in Jesus, in Christ. So it's important, first of all, to know Jesus was not just a really good man and a loving, kind Savior. He was all of that, but he walked in power. He represented the power that we, man, fallen man, lost in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. We had that residual power in the garden in the beginning, and we lost it to Satan. Satan took over. He won that in the garden. Jesus came back with that power, and that's why he came, so that we could recapture that power that was lost in the Garden of Eden. So we have to know who Jesus is, that he walks in power, and then we have to know who we are in him, because when we know who we are in him, as we saw in verse 18, that he will build his church on that foundation. He says, and I also say to you, in verse 18, Matthew 16, 18, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He wasn't telling Peter he was going to build a church on him. Now that's where our Catholic friends get it wrong. Peter was not the rock. Peter was just a man like the rest of the disciples. No different. The rock is the power that Jesus was going to leave behind, as we see in verse 19. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So apparently, there are keys to the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is saying here. This is not, I don't believe, just a metaphorical figure of speech. He's telling them, with this power that I'm going to give you, you are going to have the keys to heaven. That means you're going to be able to access power that you couldn't access before. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. In other words, the power that I'm leaving with you. Interesting that he would say the gates of hell. So what does that mean? What is a gate of hell? Apparently there is another dimension that demonic spirits, demonic forces are able to access, gain access to our dimension through some sort of a gate. Researchers call it portals. They call it supernatural portals, where some sort of energy literally comes in and out of this dimension. So Jesus is talking here about the gates of hell are not going to be able to control and penetrate our world as long as we have this power that he's talking about in the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is very, very interesting and very good teaching that you're just going to have a hard time hearing places. That's why coming to heavenlywarriors.com, that's what we focus on, is trying to get God's people up to speed on the power that they are going to need to survive in a world that they have to go out and face every day, and they face people who are literally demonically controlled. The boss that you work for, there's a chance that that person is demonically controlled. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you are chuckling right now saying, yeah, you must know my boss. Some of the people you work with, you can clearly see that they are under demonic control. And some people will say, well, that can't be. You know, demons can't control people. Oh, yes, they can. And they are doing such. That they not only can, but they do and they will on a regular basis. So we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but the principalities and powers and the demon forces behind that. So let's look further at what Jesus said. So we're over now in John 15 and 26, and Jesus is talking about when the Holy Spirit comes. And this is the power that I was telling you about that Jesus was explaining to them back as we looked in Matthew. So now let's look in John 15, 26, and it says, but when the Helper comes, that's Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Now, he's talking about the Helper when the Holy Spirit comes. On down, it says in verse 5, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So Jesus is telling them that when the Holy Spirit comes, the first thing they're going to be able to see is the truth. For the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. You see, the truth is very fundamentally critical. It's essential to everything that we do. You must move in every aspect and area and element of your life in truth. You must wrap yourself in truth. You must surround yourself in truth. Because in the absence of truth, if you do not have truth, you cannot have a relationship. You cannot have a foundation. Everything that is must be grounded in truth. And that's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we are suffering from an absolute absence of truth in our country. We're just talking about America, the country we live in. We are being lied to. We don't suspect that we are being lied to. We know without a shadow of a doubt we are being lied to. And we are being lied to repeatedly. Again, as all of you know, this is not a political broadcast. This is not a pro-Democrat, pro-Republican, pro-independent anything. We just call it like it is. We are being lied to repeatedly by the Obama administration. The Obama administration, Barack Hussein Obama himself, has repeatedly lied to the American people on camera, unapologetically, knowing that he's lying when he is saying what he says. He later will claim that he's been misinformed or that he learned of this on the news just like everyone else. That's an absolute lie. The man's the president of the United States. The man is the most well-informed human being on the planet Earth. Grasp that, what I just said. This man has more information available to him than any human being on the planet Earth. He can access literally anything around the world 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, any type of information he has available. Now, when he can make these blatant statements that are absolutely incorrect and then come back a month later or weeks later and say, no, that's not what I said, but it is what he said. It's caught on tape. When he stood and said, if you like your health plan, you can keep your health plan. He knew that was not possible. He knew that. Again, this is the most well-informed man on the planet. He knew that. If some of his opponents, his Republican enemies, knew that, he certainly knew it. That's just one of the many ongoing, repeated lies that we get from this administration on an ongoing basis. Literally every week, something else comes out, whether it's some sort of an IRS scandal where they're taking the Fifth Amendment and lying, or something about Benghazi where there was an attack and they blamed it on a video that had nothing to do with it, or this deserter, Bo Bergdahl, that they recently traded for five Taliban generals that are back in the terrorist business. And then they come out and say this man, Bo Bergdahl, served his country with honor and distinction. They couldn't possibly believe that. They have the intel. They have the information. If they don't, then this is the most irresponsible and inept administration in the history of the world. Incompetent. But that's not the case. They know these things are not true, but it doesn't matter anymore. Because the Spirit of truth has left the equation. Need you to hear what I'm saying right now. There is no truth in the land because the spirit of truth has been removed from the land. That is why it is so very critical that God's people operate in absolute truth, because that is where the Holy Spirit dwells. You're not hearing this taught in the pulpits because most of the preachers, most of the pastors don't want to touch this. They don't want to discuss anything that's going to be difficult. They want to give you motivational speeches. They want to encourage you. They want to tell you how much God loves you and how much he wants you to be rich and how he wants you to have your best life now, and that every day is a Friday and life is great, so that you will come back next Sunday or next Wednesday and you will continue to write the check and put it in the offering, because they need that check. They need that money to pay the rent on that beautiful, big, expensive building that they're operating in, calling a church. You see, the church was never intended to be a beautiful, big mausoleum, monumental building. The church is you and me. And the rock that Jesus was talking about that we just read about in Matthew, the rock. The rock is not the church building. You can build a church building on a rock, but that's not the rock Jesus is talking about. The rock is the knowledge of who he is and the power that accompanies who he is. The rock is the knowledge of knowing that because he is who he is and he went away, he sent back the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. That's the rock that the church is. That's the knowledge. It's not some building that we build and we fill up with people and put nice, comfortable chairs and a Starbucks in the front. And then we come together every Sunday and every Wednesday, and then we have various programs throughout the week. No, no. That's not the truth, the reality. It may feel good. You may like that. You may be totally addicted to your church lifestyle and your church family. I've been there, done that, got the t-shirts, multiple t-shirts. I know how it feels when you get involved in all of that, and it's a kind of a warm, fuzzy thing. This is totally not what Jesus is talking about. You see, we are in the last days, in the time where in 2 Timothy it talks about that people have itching ears. They only want to hear what they want to hear. You see, pastors nowadays, they are hirelings. Their salary is based upon how well that church does and grows and brings in the finances. So if the Bible talks about people are going to have itching ears, they're going to want to hear what they want to hear, and they don't want to hear about repenting, which means stopping doing some behaviors that you shouldn't be doing. They don't want to be talked to about that. They don't want to be lectured to. They just want to go and sit and hear a motivational speech that lasts about 45 or 50 minutes once a week. And in their mind, that buys them a ticket into heaven. And that's the truth. That's how a lot of people think of the whole church thing. If I can just suffer through this at least twice a month, maybe I won't go every week, but at least twice a month, then I will have the ability when I get to heaven to say, well, you know, God, I went half the time. You know, you ought to give me half credit, because that's their impression of how heaven operates and how God is going to be. They think that if they can just do more good things than they did bad things, literally, they think there's a scale that if I can just put a little bit more on that good side of the scale, whatever that is, you know, picking up trash on the weekends or going to church or helping out with this chili cook-off spaghetti dinner thing, charity raiser, that's going to add to my good side. When they don't understand at all, it has nothing to do with their works or how good they can be. It has everything to do with knowing who they are in Jesus, their identity, and receiving this helper that he sent, this baptism of the Holy Spirit that changes everything. That's what changed the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament from prison because he was locked up for preaching. He went from being a God, basically a mass murderer, a hater of Christians. He thought he was operating in the name of God, but he was deceived. And he went from being that to being this born-again, spirit-filled, speaking in tongues disciple, apostle, that wrote most of the Bible, that the New Testament that you have sitting before you right now. How did that happen? Because the power that Jesus is talking about here. Ye shall know that I am that I am. I am that power. And this power that I have, it's necessary. Jesus said in John 15 that I go away now so that this power can come back. Because this power cannot be unleashed as long as I am walking the earth, because this power resides in me. So when I go back to heaven, when I'm glorified, this power I will send back. And this power will now reside in you if you will receive it. And that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what we talk about. That's what we spend our time on this broadcast, these online church services, trying to help you understand this power, this thing that will change your life. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you have that prayer language with speaking in tongues, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will have that. The baptism, that is a byproduct that you get, you will receive when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that, you have not yet received the baptism. You may want the Holy Spirit really badly. You may think you have it. You may have been told and taught that, oh yeah, you got that when you accepted Jesus. I'm telling you, believe these words, write this down. That's not true. When it happens to you, you will change. When it happened to me, I was an atheist. I didn't want any part of God. I laughed at God. It was a joke. And within a 60-second period, I went from being an atheist, not believing in any of this, to being born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I'd never heard of speaking in tongues, much less heard anyone speak in tongues. I had no model to follow. I'd never heard anyone. But it started flowing out of me. It happened to me. You see, I can only teach you something that I know about because it happened to me. It happened in 1980, and that was a long time ago. But it happened. I was an atheist, and 60 seconds later, I'm speaking in tongues, and I am a literal new creature. I have a new personality. The people that knew me don't know me anymore. They said, dude, what happened to you? Your whole personality changed. Your voice is different. Everything about you is different. That is what I'm talking about. That is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you get it, you will know. You won't think you have it, or I think I don't, I don't know. You will know. You will know when you get it, because it will change everything. It will radically reshape the way you perceive God and the way you perceive heaven and the world around you. So I would encourage you right now, if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, feel free to contact this ministry and we will pray with you and see if we can move you into that great, wonderful power that the Holy Spirit promised us. You can contact this ministry on the website, heavenlywarriors.com. There's a contact area that has an email address or a phone number. So feel free to probably email. That's the best way to get in contact, and we will set up a Skype time where I can be with you or one of the other ministers in this ministry that is baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we will start to pray you through to that power that's available to you. This is Pastor Rick Bell with HeavenlyWarriorsMinistry.com. I would like to thank you for giving me this time out of your precious day to listen to this. And I pray many blessings on you. Father God, I just ask for an anointing to fall on every listener of this series, every listener of this broadcast right now, that they may receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the power that you intended for them to have. And in Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.